if we just come out of the game like not needing an adjustment after drive one like we did last week, where they happen to gash a few rushing plays, this team might show up into the red zone twice, three times maybe in the game.
I want to see if we could get out of this game and have gotten 3 to 5 sacks, then maybe an interception and a fumble recovery. I'm going to feel really good about what we do, especially with that, creating that turnover margin.
All right, dog fans, before we hop into the show, don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe to the channel. It really helps us out and we appreciate the support. Thanks to our sponsor, Simply Seattle. We'll be picking out one lucky new subscriber to win free Washington Huskies t-shirt and hat. To enter, just subscribe, drop a comment below letting us know that you've done it. You can be out there flexing that new Husky drip, that new Husky swag in no time. Plus, don't forget to check out Simply Seattle's QR code at the bottom of the screen, which will take you directly to their website for all your Washington Husky apparel needs. Good luck. Go Dogs. Thank you for everything.
Welcome to the Dubbed Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Flaunt. Today's episode, we are going to be talking about Eastern Michigan coming to play UW. They're 25-point underdogs. I got my guys Izzo and Noah with me, the Dubbed Up boys. Fellas, how are we feeling going into week two? Like I said, it's still kind of a little bit lower level of an opponent, but let's not get it twisted. Eastern Michigan is still pretty good. Izzo, what are you thinking about this matchup, and what are you looking for?
I mean, better opponent than last week, probably. Am I concerned to any degree about this game? I am not.
You're not making any hot predictions like you're going to poo if we lose.
That guy is in trouble, dude. No, people aren't going to forget that. No matter when he resources, everybody's going to remember that. You might as well just delete it forever, dude. He's
done. Oh yeah, that was bad. That was bad.
So you know, I will not make a prediction like that. That being said, I know we're 25-point favorites in this game.
Yeah.
I got us covering. I just don't see the team like this scoring on us. I mean, here's the beautiful thing about this defense is that like, if we want to, you know, Belichick does all this rotational work, right? Bringing all these different guys in. If we just don't do that, immediately you can bump up with some continuity. So yeah. It means that your defense, the entire stretch, shows up every game ready to play because they're probably going to play. Like literally everybody who's suited is almost going to play on defense. So, you know, we'll talk about it more, but at just a high level, you know, this team beat, you know, UMass 28-14. If you're only scoring 28 on UMass, I don't know if you're scoring a touchdown on us, because if we just come out of the game like not needing an adjustment after drive one like we did last week, where they happen to gash a few rushing plays, this team might show up into the red zone twice, three times maybe in the game.
Oh, okay.
Not three times. I would say like twice.
They did beat UMass 28-14. And if you watch that game, they were good at controlling the line of scrimmage. Noah, when you're looking at this Eastern Michigan team, what stood out to you and what do you think is going to be what UW's going to have on their hands for them?
Yeah. I mean, I think Izzo really quick. I think Izzo makes that point because I mean, there's 133 teams in like Division I college football, right? UMass historically is, 120, 125. I mean, they're a very rough team. And so, you know, I know Chris Creighton, you know, at Eastern Michigan, he always puts a competitive team together, consistent bowl appearances. I think they had 9 wins in 2022. So, I mean, you know, he's always a coach. He's ready to go. He'll have these guys ready to play. But looking at these guys, you know, man, I think Eastern Michigan wants to be like a lean, like a run heavy team. You know, they got this new QB, Colin Snyder from Buffalo. He's a transfer in, has the ability to run. I think he had six runs. Against UMass this past weekend. They got this kid, Mims out of Mims III. He's an NC State transfer, big body kid. They want to establish a run. Kind of the issue though with that is they're probably going to be playing from behind, especially in these early games with kind of what the, what their schedule looks like. And that's kind of what I expect this weekend. So when you have to really rely on Colin Snyder to kind of throw you back into this game, I'm sorry, but Eastern Michigan's in for a long day. When you look at some of their wide receivers and, you know, who they have, you know, I'm really excited to see this Oren Singleton kid. He's a small little scat, you know, slash slot wide receiver. I'm excited to see what Jordan Shaw does with him. I think Shaw will put him in a blender, eat him up and spit him out. But, but I really want to see that'll be a fun matchup to see. I think he had 8 catches, you know, against UMass with a touchdown. So, run heavy offense, or at least they want to be that. It's going to be tough playing from behind, but we'll kind of see how the game goes.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see how we attack them, especially in the trenches. Izzo, you know, I know you were talking about dominance with that has to deal with this game. What are your expectations for what happens in the trenches?
Yeah. So Eastern Michigan, definitely their front, like now their front seven got 6 sacks against UMass, correct? I believe.
Yep.
You know, we're platooning guys. Is there some risk there that we give up a handful of sacks? Sure. Do I think that we have the release valves in the backfield to kind of mitigate that? Yeah, I do. Yeah. I think it's going to be a key focus this week to, and I think Brendan Carroll said it, to limit the amount of negative plays because there was a handful. And so if that's a key area of focus and they want to try to go athlete for athlete with us in the trenches of their D-line versus our offensive line, I'm really not that concerned about it, knowing that Will Rogers has the mental makeup to kind of make the adjustments and that Brendan Carroll's already aware of it and probably scheming for what is a better defensive line than what we saw last week. So I want to see us sharp in pass protection, but they are we're going to get the ball out quick. So, you know, I'm more worried about a Ohio State defensive line than a Eastern Michigan defensive line. Hatchett, guard, Memelar in their run assignments, imposing their will. I can pretty much be as close as guaranteeing, and maybe not eating cat poop or dog poop over here, like from a cup like the FSU guy did or has to, but that the guards, the pulling guards that they faced last week are nowhere near the level of Landon Hatchett and guard Memelar, even coming off of injuries. So, so that's kind of how I see it in the trenches, at least from our offense to their defense. I'm not overly concerned about it. We got to stop the running quarterback. You know, that's not lost upon me. You got to keep him in contained. I'm glad that this is the team that we're kind of getting faced with that first, because when it comes to threatening dual threat quarterbacks, I'd rather get a taste of that against Eastern Michigan than being thrown into the gauntlet against, you know, a Division I powerhouse school. So I'm looking for Ward. I'm looking for guys like that to come off the edge, seal the edge. Who can be that ZTF, that Braylon Trice, where we don't have to worry about one side? And then let Bandis and Valdez press up the middle and kind of screw things up, get their paws up, and start to dominate that way. I understand that they have better trench play than last week. I'm just not overly concerned about what that looked like last week for them versus what they're going to see this week on Mont Lake. So good luck to them. I'm not worried about it.
The only thing I wanted to say really quick was this, is that when you go back and look at Eastern Michigan and kind of look at their schedule, you know, the last couple of years, I mean, dude, the only real team they've played in I'm talking multiple years is like Minnesota last year. They got beat 25-6 on a very kind of like poor Minnesota team. These guys haven't seen a ton of talent. I mean, they're going to see more talent on Montlake on Saturday than they have in years, man. And I really think at the end of the day, our athleticism will really just kind of, it'll just kind of win the day. And I think that's one of the things that you'll end up seeing, you know, with that. When it comes to their offensive line versus our D line too, you know, they're roughly right around 300 pounds per guy, 6'4", 6'5", 300 pounds per guy. And I think the big thing there also is, you know, they got to transfer their big left tackle to transfer from Wayne State, you know, a lower Division II team. So, man, good luck with Zach Durfee. Yeah, man, I don't know. It's hard to break a game down like this and not just absolutely crap on Eastern Michigan, because that's not really what I'm trying to do or anything. It's just the talent level that they just faced this past week and what they saw all last year is nothing the level that they're going to see on Saturday. So it's really hard to really break it down. One thing I do want to see is, you know, if our defensive line can just shuck and shed and get rid of guys, dude, Delbert Mims, who is a transfer I was referring to from North Carolina State. You know, he was a reserve player there. Dude, he's going to have a tough day because he's a big body back. I mean, he's 220 pounds. He needs a little bit. He needs some momentum to get going. So I think if we can get to him early and often, dude, we'll hold him under 50, 60 yards rushing all day.
Okay. Is up.
Yeah. I mean, just to piggyback on that, I mean, go ahead and throw. We're going to man up. I'm not worried about their receivers. I know they had the Singleton kid who's pretty decent that Noah mentioned. And Mims, he had a good stat line last week, 12 carries for 60 yards. But again, I'm with Noah. The drop off in talent level is just enormous. So I'm really not concerned. And then again, if you want to try, we just shut down the wide receiver one to 15 yards on one catch. Yeah. And I don't know how much better these number ones, let's assume slightly better. Let's assume they're good. Are you, you know, I know that from Coach Q, shout out to you, that this defense specializes in getting, we didn't even have to see it last week because they just shut this dude down one-on-one. But if they want to get rid of one threat entirely from the game, they have the ability to. Out of the receiver groups, they can just get rid of your top guy. So if you think that you're going to go, all right, get rid of our top guy, we're going to our number two versus Elijah Jackson. Okay. We'll take that matchup all day.
Yeah. I don't think they have anybody that's really scaring us anywhere on as far as athlete for athlete, especially as we look in this at the secondary and back half of the defense. Do you feel the same way with the linebackers and safeties and coverage on the tight ends and all that? Because, I mean, he did throw for 241 and a touchdown, but like you said, it was also against UMass, who's traditionally – let's just say that's Central Michigan's tune-up game.
Right. Yeah, you know? I mean, I'll take fifth-year Tupitala and fifth-year Bruner over whatever they got.
Yeah. All right, Let's go to the offensive. Just what is our offense going to do against their defense? Like I said, they did look decent against a bad team in UMass. But Izzo, holler at me about the offense.